Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to start a new series, a very short one, and we're going to talk about this practice of walking a labyrinth. Some of you have heard of this, and others of you are completely drawing a blank. You have a blank stare right now, and you're saying, what is that? Well, the liberal side of Christianity and a lot of the emergent church is starting to adopt this practice of walking a labyrinth. And it's starting to become a concern to more of the fundamental Christian side of things, as this is making its way into many churches. In fact, I was looking around on the internet and I noticed that churches all over the United States are adding these labyrinths to the church grounds, sometimes inside the building and most of the time outside the building. I did a search in my own hometown, Loveland, Colorado. It's not a very big town. It's not a very small town either. And yet, we've got three of them in Loveland alone. So anyway, what is this thing? What is a labyrinth? What are we looking at here? Well, for the most part, and there are many different styles of labyrinths, but they're usually circular. And in fact, they usually have concentric rings that you walk around a maze of these. There's three different designs that are primarily used. They have a 7-circuit, an 11-circuit, and a 12-circuit style labyrinth. And basically, it is a path that winds around, twisting and turning through this labyrinth, this maze almost, through this design, this usual circular design. There's only one way in and one way out. There's no dead ends. There's no path or crossroads where you stop and you can choose which way to go. It's one path, and it winds through what looks like, when you look at it, a maze. But it's not a maze. Again, there's only one way in and one way out. This path leads you eventually to the center. And in the center of this labyrinth is a spot where you stop and basically you meditate. You commune with the divine. And we'll talk more about that. And then you wind your way back out. Okay, so that's pretty much it in a nutshell. There are some interesting things that I'd like to bring up. A lot of these labyrinths incorporate what's called sacred geometry, which is not something you find in the Bible, and it's more along the line of New Age thought processes and even witchcraft. And to put sacred geometry as simply as I can, without going into too much detail, and we'll look into this later in a different series, but it's the idea, let's see, sacred geometry is basically the use of sacred shapes and patterns of either nature or God, I mean, depending on who you are serving at the time, for the purpose of healing and spiritual communion. It's the idea that God or Mother Nature, again, take your pick, has placed patterns and shapes in its creation. And by using these sacred shapes, this sacred geometry, we are able to touch the divine. All right, so that's a little confusing, but it's just the idea. God, again, their God, not our God, but the idea that some God, or Mother Nature for that matter, put shapes and patterns into this planet that are kind of like God's signature. And when we incorporate these patterns into these labyrinths, we are able to reach altered states of mind and get closer to this divinity. And we'll look into that a little more too as well. It kind of winds around in you also find it in Buddhism as well. Anyway, and so as these people believe, these labyrinth walkers, they walk through this labyrinth. You've got all these 180 degree turns, and they're going to the left and to the right. And as they're doing these turns, it's said that you'll reach an alternative state of consciousness. In fact, yeah, they'll say that it stimulates different sides of your brain, mainly the right side of your brain, and a different state of consciousness will be induced. Some other walkers of the labyrinth will claim that it will align their chakras and awaken the Kundalini spirit, the serpentine spirit at the base of the spine. Some of you have never heard of this before. Other of you are nodding your head right now. Todd Bentley does some things. We'll talk about Todd Bentley pretty soon, too. He does some things, has some practices that also resemble Kundalini. But anyway, just to kind of sum it up really quickly, because we're not going to do a series on that right now, maybe later, but Kundalini is a practice associated with Hinduism. And obviously, guys, it shouldn't be involved or included in Christian worship or prayer at all. And when you take this Kundalini idea and you pair it up with walking the labyrinth, this is what you get. It's said that if you walk the labyrinth counterclockwise, you will unwind the Shakti, the Kundalini spirit at the base of your spine. And this serpent is sometimes described as the sacred snake, the sacred snake of sex and liberation. The Shakti is said to wind its way through your chakras to reunite the, okay, this is going to be rough on you, the Sahasrara, the crown chakra. I've always known it as the Kether. Anyway, I will cover the Kundalini and the chakras in a different series sometime in the future. But anyway, for now, let's just keep going. These labyrinths are being used for meditation, for prayer, reflection, communing with the divine, as I just mentioned a moment before. Oftentimes, the divine feminine, and we'll get into that as well, they are used to promote unity of all faiths, which is kind of that ecumenical feel where we're trying to create a one world religion. I'm not talking about tinfoil hattery here. This is not something that's set in the shadows. This is something that is very open nowadays. There are groups all over the world who are trying to pull the world religions together to create some kind of a one world faith. And these labyrinths are just another tool in that process. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later, too. People walking these labyrinths examine themselves. It's a way of self-examination, which in and of itself is not really a bad thing. And they're seeking enlightenment. They're looking for spiritual awakenings, deep inner knowledge, the arousal of feelings, whether good or bad, renewed creativity, and even brain remapping, as well as energy production. So really, this labyrinth thing, as we go on, it's used for a whole slew of different things, but it has its roots in paganism, as you guys will see as we go on here. And that's why I'm so concerned about this. You know, it's not in and of itself, it doesn't sound like a bad thing. You just walk along this trail, big deal. You get to the center, you have a prayer or whatever. I mean, if a lot of these Christian churches are using this as a walk, almost like a walk with God. You're imagining you're walking with God, and you get to the center, and you commune with Jesus, and then you leave. Doesn't really sound that bad. But we're harnessing a pagan practice and then putting a Christian label on it. God hates this kind of thing. All right, so I'm claiming that this is a pagan practice, come on, Boehm, back it up. Okay, I'll back it up. But first, let me explain just a hair bit more. I just said hair bit. Let me explain a hair bit more on this process. So you start at the beginning of this trail, this little labyrinth path, right? And this is considered the first stage of your inward journey. And your objective here is to forget everything of life. Okay, some people chant mantras. Okay, I'm cruising around on the internet. I've seen some funny mantras that people will say, like Om Shanti Shanti. Don't expect me to pronounce that right. Others will say over and over again. And friends, if this doesn't make steam shoot out of your ears, maybe there's something wrong with you. But they say over and over, I am. Okay, and they're not trying to call upon God here. They're saying, I am. Trying to connect with the inner God inside of them. All right, anyway. So we're trying to clear our minds here, right? You're letting go of all things in your life, and you're oftentimes chanting as you do so. Sounds Christian, right? Some Christians will say that they will pray while going along this path. Again, I don't really see a problem with that, but oftentimes it's repetition. It's a repetitious type prayer. In fact, I read over and over and over different Catholics that are using these labyrinths will pray the rosary over and over and over. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." All right. So, yeah, there's your first part of the journey. Then you make it to the center. Oh, and by the way, as you're winding around these left and right turns, and really you're just turning back and forth, I encourage you to go onto Google and type in walking a labyrinth and then hit the images and just look at some of the pictures, because I think you'll get a better idea of what I'm talking about here. But you're just turning left and right, and going through these really tight corners. Well, it's believed that turning left and right, over and over again stimulates the left and right side of your brain alternately, and this causes an alternate state of mind. All right, so now we're working into this almost hypnotic meditative state. Then you make it to the center. So this is stage two. And this is where you have achieved emptiness within. In fact, to a New Ager, this is the place of inner silence and stillness, waiting and expecting the infilling of love. But again, the goal here now is to connect with the divine. All right, so as a Christian, again, that doesn't sound so bad. I mean, we pray to God, right? We're trying to connect with our Father, and that's cool and all. But again, we're harnessing pagan practices and trying to say it's Christian. And guys, God hates this. And again, you're thinking to yourself, Mike, you still haven't shown us it's pagan. That's okay. Hang in there. I'll get to that. Now, some, as we're going to go further, and you're going to see, some groups believe that they are connecting with the divine feminine. And yet others, well, different gods. But anyway, we'll get to that. And so you stay in the center as long as you like, connecting with your divinity of choice. That's what I said. That's how it's taught. You connect with the divine being of your choice, and you become one with the one, and I'll get to that. Some of you who have already been through my study on Wicca, your radars are turning around, turning on, and you're going, wait, what did you just say? Yeah, the one. You become one with the one, and when you're done, when you feel like you have, basically you've achieved what you came there for, you enter the third stage, which is to wind your way out. It's the outward journey. And the whole idea of the outward journey is you are trying to basically achieve a state of union. You are focusing on your relationship with yourself and others and your divine union with the universe. And that's probably a good spot to stop with that, guys. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and leave comments and questions. I do want to talk to you guys. I want to meet you guys. I love talking to you guys. In fact, I've talked to a few of you recently that has been awesome. Thanks, Scody. That's right, I'm talking to you, Scody, and Hayden and Gabriel. So anyway, guys, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.